Here is the complete episode script. The largest holder of U.S. Treasury bills you've never heard of isn't a sovereign wealth fund. It isn't a pension system. It isn't even a bank. It's a company registered in the British Virgin Islands, run by two men most Americans couldn't name, with a compliance department that would embarrass a regional credit union. And last quarter, it made $1.04 billion in profit in roughly 90 days from your money, from the money of every person who has ever touched a stablecoin. Here is the question you need to sit with. When an entity this large, this profitable, and this opaque sits at the center of a $2 trillion asset class, what exactly happens when something goes wrong? Welcome back to Edge Capital Insights. I'm Sloan. Today, we're going deep on Tether, the stablecoin issuer that has quietly become one of the most powerful and least understood financial intermediaries on the planet, arriving at precisely the moment Washington is deciding what to do about it. Let's build the picture from the ground up. Tether was founded in 2014 by Jean-Louis van der Velde. The premise was elegant and old. You deposit $1, you receive one USDT, a token pegged at parity to the dollar, redeemable on demand. It's a receipt, a digital warehouse claim. The innovation wasn't the technology, the innovation was the application. Crypto markets needed a stable unit of account that could move at blockchain speed without touching the traditional banking rails every time you wanted to trade. Tether solved that. And for 11 years, it has dominated the solution. Today, Tether's USDT is the most traded asset in crypto by volume, more than Bitcoin, more than Ethereum, more than any exchange-listed token. When the crypto market moves, it moves in Tether. When money flows in or out of the ecosystem, it almost always passes through USDT. That is not a feature of the technology. That is a monopoly of infrastructure. Now let's talk about what backs it. As of the first quarter of this year, Tether holds approximately $141 billion in U.S. Treasury securities. Read that number again. $141 billion, that makes Tether one of the largest holders of U.S. government debt on Earth, ranking alongside sovereign nations ahead of most central banks outside the G7. Total assets sit at $192 billion against liabilities of $184 billion. The buffer, the cushion above the one-to-one backing requirement, is $8.23 billion, an all-time high. And the profit, $1.04 million in net profit in a single quarter. Annualize that, and you're looking at roughly $4 billion a year, generated almost entirely from the spread between Treasury yields, currently somewhere in the 4 to 5% range, and the implicit yield Tether pays USDT holders, which is precisely zero. You deposit dollars, Tether parks them in Treasuries, Tether keeps the coupon, you get a token that maintains its peg. That is the business model. It is staggeringly simple. It is staggeringly profitable. For context, $4 billion annually from a balance sheet that requires no branch network, no credit underwriting infrastructure, no deposit insurance premiums, and relative to assets under management, almost no compliance overhead. A traditional bank running a comparable treasury book would carry thousands of employees, billions in regulatory capital requirements, and face quarterly stress tests administered by the Federal Reserve. Tether answers to none of that. The before times in this story, the period before anyone had to take Tether seriously as a systemic question, ended roughly in May 2022, when Terra USD, a competing stablecoin, collapsed overnight. $80 billion in value erased. Contagion spread immediately to Three Arrows Capital, to Celsius, to Voyager, and eventually to FTX. But through all of it, USDT held its peg, barely, in moments, but it held. And when the dust cleared, Tether's market dominance was larger than before. Because when the alternatives failed, users fled to the one stablecoin with a track record. That survival story is what the bull case is built on. But survival in a crisis is not the same as being safe. It's worth keeping that distinction sharp. The bull case for Tether is genuinely compelling, and I want to give it a full and fair hearing before I dismantle it. Because intellectual honesty requires steel-manning the position you're skeptical of. Here is the bull case in its strongest form. Tether has created something functionally unprecedented, a capital-efficient monetary intermediary with zero credit risk to its depositors. The assets backing USDT are U.S. Treasury bills, the single most liquid, most creditworthy financial instrument that exists. A Treasury default would mean the collapse of the global financial system, at which point your USDT problems are the least of anyone's concerns. The reserve buffer of $8 plus billion is larger than many Fortune 500 companies' annual net income. And unlike the financial institutions that cratered in 2008, Tether holds no mortgages, no collateralized debt obligations, no repo 105 tricks. It holds treasuries, full stop. The quarterly attestation reports, while not full audits, are published and public. The reserve composition is disclosed. The buffer is growing, not. And in the context of the Genius Act debate currently consuming the U.S. Senate, Tether's treasury-heavy positioning is actually the regulator-friendly posture. If the legislation passes with reserve composition requirements, Tether is arguably already compliant by design. That is the bull case. Now, here is what they're not telling you. The attestations Tether publishes are produced by more Cayman Islands. They certify that reserves existed at a specific point in time. They do not verify internal controls. They do not verify reserve turnover ratios. They do not verify that the same assets were temporarily rehypothecated, repositioned, or obscured between reporting periods. An attestation is a photograph. An audit is a film. One shows you a moment. The other shows you the behavior. Tether has never submitted to a full gold standard audit of the kind required of any publicly listed company in the United States. Any public company, a regional snack food manufacturer in Ohio, has more mandated disclosure than the entity sitting at the center of the global crypto market. The corporate structure amplifies this concern. Tether is registered in the British Virgin Islands. CEO Paolo Arduino was appointed in 2023. Beyond regulatory filings in the jurisdictions where Tether is forced to engage, the board composition is opaque, governance structures are undisclosed, and decision-making authority is not publicly documented. The systemic importance of this entity is inversely proportional to what we actually know about how it is run. Here is the historical analogy I want you to hold. Bear Stearns, in early 2008, total assets of approximately $360 billion, deeply embedded in the treasury and repo markets, considered by most market participants to be a pillar of the system. The opacity wasn't in what Bear held. Everyone roughly knew the composition. The opacity was in the leverage, the counterparty exposure, the internal risk models that nobody outside the firm could validate. When confidence cracked, it cracked fast. Bear went from operating to non-existent in 72 hours. JP Morgan absorbed it at $2 per share, backstopped by the Federal Reserve. The Fed had to intervene because the interconnectedness was too severe to allow a disorderly unwind. Now ask yourself, what is the Federal Reserve's playbook if Tether faces a comparable confidence shock? There is no playbook. Tether is not a member bank. It has no access to Fed liquidity facilities. There is no deposit insurance. There is no resolution authority with clear jurisdiction. And unlike Bear Stearns, where the counterparties were known financial institutions with known balance sheets, Tether's $190+ billion in liabilities are distributed across millions of pseudonymous wallets, decentralized exchanges, and offshore venues. The unwind of a Tether confidence event would be faster, more diffuse, and less containable than anything the Fed has ever managed. The FTX collapse, which wiped out approximately $32 billion in value, was catastrophic. Tether's balance sheet is 6 times that size. What's different now versus the Bear Stearns era? Two things cut both ways. First, Tether actually holds better assets than Bear did. Treasury bills are not mortgage-backed securities. That's real. Second, the speed of a digital run makes 2008 look leisurely. Bear Stearns took 72 hours to collapse. In a digital environment, a Tether bank run could happen in 72 minutes. So what does all of this mean for the people actually listening to this right now? Let's walk through the stakeholder map. If you are a retail crypto participant, if you hold USDT, trade through platforms that denominate in USDT, or have yield positions that rely on stablecoin liquidity, the practical implication is this. Your counterparty risk is Tether, and Tether is not too big to fail in any protected sense. There is no bailout mechanism. If you are holding significant value in USDT, the rational hedge is diversification across stablecoin issuers and a disciplined limit on what percentage of your portfolio is parked in any single stablecoin. USDC, issued by Circle, operates under dramatically more transparent regulatory frameworks and is positioning aggressively for Genius Act compliance. It is not as liquid as USDT. That liquidity premium has a price, and you should decide consciously whether you're paying it. If you are an institutional player, a fund with crypto exposure, a treasury team running stablecoin rails for payments, the analysis gets sharper. The $8 billion reserve buffer sounds substantial until you model a confidence event. 3% of outstanding USDT redeemed in a single session, which is not a tail scenario. That is a moderate stress event, represents roughly $5.5 billion in outflows against a buffer of $8 billion. That math is not comfortable. Your redemption rights, your contractual counterparty protections, and your custody arrangements matter enormously. If you don't have legal opinions on all three, get them. For the companies building on Tether's infrastructure, the exchanges, the DeFi protocols, the payment processors, the Genius Act outcome is an existential decision node. If the legislation passes with meaningful reserve and audit requirements, companies that have built compliance layers now will have an advantage. Companies that assumed the regulatory environment would remain permissive are exposed. The Senate debate is not theater. The bipartisan support for baseline stablecoin legislation is real. And the question is not whether regulation arrives, but what form it takes and how fast. For regulators, and I'll say this clearly, the Genius Act, as currently debated, is both necessary and probably insufficient. Requiring reserve composition disclosures and basic audit standards for stablecoin issuers is the right architecture. But the legislation as described does not address the jurisdictional arbitrage problem. A company registered in the British Virgin Islands with offshore banking relationships can comply with U.S. reserve standards for U.S.-facing operations while maintaining the same opacity globally. The regulatory capture risk is that Tether participates in the Genius Act framework enough to gain legitimacy without submitting to the full disclosure regime that systemic importance actually demands. Legislators should be building for what Tether is, a systemically important financial utility, not for what it markets itself as, which is a convenient crypto payment tool. And for you specifically sitting with this information right now, the question I opened with was what happens when something goes wrong with an entity this large and this opaque? Here is the honest answer. It depends entirely on the nature of the failure. If the failure is a reserve composition problem, assets not matching liabilities, the buffer provides time, but resolution is genuinely unclear. If the failure is a confidence event with no underlying insolvency, a rumor, a regulatory action in a major jurisdiction, a coordinated short, then the outcome is determined by how fast Tether can publicly demonstrate reserve adequacy. Given the attestation not audit framework currently in place, that demonstration would be slow, contested, and potentially insufficient to stop a digital run. The structural vulnerability is real. The probability of triggering it is uncertain. But sophisticated investors price known risks. And this one has been systematically underpriced. Here is where we land. Tether is simultaneously the most capital-efficient financial intermediary operating at scale today and the most consequential, unresolved transparency problem in global finance. The $1 billion quarterly profit is not evidence of health. It is evidence of extraction without accountability. The Genius Act will not solve this alone, but it will force the question into a framework where answers are at least theoretically enforceable. My prediction, within 18 months, a major jurisdiction, most likely the European Union, under MiCA enforcement, or the U.S. if the Genius Act passes with teeth, will require Tether to submit to a full gold standard audit as a condition of continued operating authority. Tether will comply because the alternative is exclusion from markets it cannot afford to lose. And what that audit reveals will be the most important document in the history of cryptocurrency. That's Edge Capital Insights for today. I'm Sloan. Stay sharp, stay skeptical.